Okay, sad news. We just learned recently of the passing of soul legend Aretha Franklin.
Yeah, rest in power, Aretha.
Queen of soul. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to discuss that on this episode of Rockin' Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Sam Lisker.
Thanks for joining us, Sam.
Great to be here.
Sam brought a CD here of Aretha Franklin collection, right?
I did. It's from the personal Sam collection. This was a old CD that my mom used to play for us way back in the day when growing up. It was published, I think, it was distributed by Rhino.
Mm-hmm.
It's from 1994. It's called The Very Best of Aretha Franklin. And I think the majority of these songs are from her time on Atlantic Records.
Okay.
Change, change, change. Change, change, change.
The interesting thing I find too about this is, Aretha Franklin grew up in Detroit.
She did.
Mm-hmm. And yet she was not on Motown, even though it was right in that same era.
Isn't that interesting?
In the same, style of music. But she ended up, as we said, toward the late 60s, 1967, I think, was when she moved from Columbia over to Atlantic Records, worked with Jerry Wexler, and did amazing, amazing work. Respect and You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman and Chain of Fools and all those songs that people know. She's one of the biggest female recording artists ever. I mean, I think she has some records in terms of number of songs that have charted on various charts.
Mm-hmm.
So, the popularity is not really in question, but I think the key here, what we're really talk about is the impact that she had.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I think part of the fact that she never ended up on Motown was that, she was the daughter of C.L. Franklin, who was a very well-known Baptist minister in Detroit, and she grew up singing in the church and had two children by the time she was, I think 15 years old.
Really young.
Like very, very young. So Aretha was thrown into life at a very, very early age.
That's
not
right.
Only because she was singing with her father, next to his sermons or taking solo spots, but also because of that, right? Mm-hmm. She was a mother at an age where nobody really should be and, learned and grew up extremely fast in a time where that was pretty uncommon. And I think, for me, guys, not only was she a incredible vocalist, but she was such an amazing interpreter of songs, right?
You know,
she wasn't necessarily she did write a lot of songs and had her hand in a lot of things, but along with Jerry Wexler, when she got down to interpreting something, you really felt it in a different way than you did with other singers. She was totally gifted as a vocalist, with an incredible voice, but man, she could just reach inside of herself because I think of everything she went through when she was younger and the secular and, church lessons and all that. She really felt things when they were written and could really get inside, the author's head and interpret them in a way that really made you feel it, every single note, and was an amazing piano player.
You're absolutely
to
right.
Boot. Yeah.
Yeah. I think just the way that her very unique voice stood throughout time blew me away.
Yeah.
I don't know about you all, but I had the pleasure of seeing Aretha Franklin at a Wolf Trap between 2005 and 2008, around that time. I forgot the exact year, but I just remember going and just being blown away by how, after all this time, her voice was still intact.
Yeah, isn't that
amazing? It was so unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mind-blowing.
Well, you bring up the church, and obviously that was really important to her development as a singer because her roots are in gospel music.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
And when you're a really good gospel singer, when you're doing that sort of weekly performance that is communal in nature.
Yeah.
And you're working off of other singers. I think it just gives you a great sense
right.
of music and phrasing and rhythm and all of that, right?
Yeah,
and,
totally
and then,
well
and then
said.
That feeling, right?
Yeah,
that
that's
you
right.
know comes from your soul,
yeah,
right? When
yeah.
you're in church. And it when she just she made a decision to record secular music,
yeah.
but she never lost that gospel feeling, right?
Right.
And I want to play a song because I was listening to a lot of her stuff today, and everybody knows a lot of the hit songs, but it's maybe some of the next tier down or that, you know, have maybe been lost a little bit to the years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was listening to this one song from 1970 from the album Spirit in the Dark, and it's the title track, and it very much a gospel-based song, but just listen to how this song builds and how great it is.
Getting the spirit in the dark. I'm getting the spirit in the dark. People moving. Oh,
so when you listen to that, what it really shows me at least is how she could sing in sort of that restrained way when she needed
mm-hmm.
to,
mm-hmm.
but then just like let it loose
yeah.
when she needed to as well.
Right.
You know, just complete command of the voice as an instrument.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Well said, Jim. I mean, that power was always right there whenever
absolutely.
She needed it, and she would call on it at certain times. And mm-hmm. it, yeah, just stunning. You can really hear it in that track.
Yeah. Just incredible stuff all around.
Now, the other thing that I think is really important to say about her impact, it goes beyond, I think, even just music, which is, you know, her impact to, I think, the women's movement,
yeah.
feminism, women's empowerment, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it, because in the 60s, many of the female singers of the time, their subject matter tended to be about, you know, falling in love
right.
or wanting to find this man or, you know, how to make themselves more appealing,
mm-hmm.
I guess,
mm-hmm.
you know, to,
mm-hmm.
to men or whatever. But with Aretha, you always got the feeling when she was singing that she was just her own person. That,
oh, yeah.
This
absolutely.
Stuff didn't really matter
mm-hmm.
so much. And then that, of course, came through in Respect, which was a cover of an Otis Redding song. But when she sang it, it flipped the script on the song
yeah.
and made it, I think, so much better and more powerful because
yeah.
to hear a woman singing that she wants respect, you know,
yeah.
in 1967 or whatever it was, just meant so much more,
right.
I think, to what was going on at the time.
Right. And especially as a black woman. You know, right. She was friends with Martin Luther King Jr. Mm-hmm. And certainly had a lot to do with the civil rights movement, especially coming from Detroit, you mm-hmm. know, which was kind of a groundswell of a lot of that stuff. And you know, even up until Who's Zooming Who, she still had that right. kind of, right, yeah. you know, pride and righteousness about her that was pretty amazing. I mean, she sang at the inauguration of Barack Obama.
That's right. You know, I remember
after
that.
He was yeah. Elected the first time. So she definitely carried that place, you know, in society and I don't say politics, but definitely in, you know, socio-political, you know, realm. She was definitely respected it very deeply. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And then I think, to me, one of the most perfect songs, which is a love song, but think about just, you know, how it's different is You Make Me Feel Like a Natural Woman, yeah. where she's not singing like, oh, you know, this guy looks at me and my heart flutters and all of that kind of stuff, which was a lot of what was going on at the time. Yeah. But it was more like you know, make me feel like I'm supposed to yeah, feel, you know, or right. you make me like whole mm-hmm. in some way or just, you know, help me live my best life,
right.
you know, together. But that's so much a sort of a higher statement, I think, about romance
absolutely.
Than what a lot of other, you know, singers were singing about at the time, yeah, right?
Especially at that time, you yeah. know, at the end of a decade of upheaval in American society, without a doubt.
Looking out on the morning rain, I used to feel so uninspired. Another day, Lord, it made me feel so tired. Before the day I met you, life was so unkind. You're the key to my peace of mind. 'Cause you made me feel.
And let's not forget the Blues Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
She did an amazing well, job.
Her role in the Blues Brothers. That's right.
That's right.
Matt, what the hell is he talking about?
Don't get riled, sugar.
Don't get riled, sugar me. Now, you're not going back on the road no more, and you ain't playing in them old two-bit sleazy dives. You're living with me now, and you're not going to go sliding around with your old white hoodlum friends.
But, babes, this is Jake and Elwood, the Blues Brothers.
The Blues Brothers? They still owe you money, fool.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one of my favorite scenes. It
really is amazing. In 2000, the year 2000, I was assigned by the Washington Post to cover this really bizarre event at the Kennedy Center, where the whole year 2000, the Kennedy Center did all this stuff to celebrate a millennium, like 100 years of American song, right? And they had this weird concert where they had 10 different artists, and each one sang one song from every decade of you know, the 19th century, 20th century, I should say.
Wow.
And Aretha was one of the artists, and she was chosen to sing a song from the 60s. And I was standing in the front of the Great Hall of the Kennedy Center at a side door, and before the show had started, all of a sudden this limousine pulls up out front and out sweeps Aretha Franklin in this long white fur coat, you know, floor length, very large presence in many ways in the year 2000, walked right past me, went down this like side hallway, and I was like, there, that was amazing. That was the Queen of Soul. Aretha yeah. Franklin just passed within arm's length of me.
Right.
Like, it was pretty amazing. It was almost like a vision. She just came all in white, swept down the hallway. It was a rainy night, I remember, and just she was there and she was gone. And I was like, wow, that was pretty cool, man. Like, that's never going to happen.
Suddenly
again.
The fanboy comes out.
I know. It was amazing. Yeah. It was totally in awe, like jaw dropping moment. And then she came out and sang one song. Dwight Yoakam was there too, for some strange reason. It was really a bizarre concert, but, But yeah, that was really cool. And I only got to see her play once, Sam. So that's cool that you got to see her sing.
That's amazing.
At Wolf Trap. That's very cool.
That's amazing. I mean, she was performing up until close to the end here, even though she said she was retiring from music. At some point recently when she started to feel ill, but she kept going a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Kennedy Center and things like that, she did receive a Kennedy Center Honors in 1994.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She also was the first woman inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1987. And she received a Presidential Medal of Freedom.
Yeah, 2005.
I remember that.
There's a photo of her on her Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
Like sitting next to Alan Greenspan. So there you go.
Lineup.
Yeah, that's pretty incongruous. When you were younger, Sam, you and your brother, and like your mom was playing some of this music, what were certain songs that stuck in your mind like immediately that really moved you?
Well, I really liked Respect.
Okay.
I think that's important, man, woman, whoever you are. I think that's something everybody should be treated with respect.
Yeah.
Especially, that's true. And being taught that at a young age was important too.
That's right.
That's right.
And if you can cut Otis Redding on a song,
yes.
She might have been the only person to ever do that.
Yeah, seriously, like, that became the definitive version.
Steal the song from Otis Redding, that's pretty amazing.
Well, and I want to say, too, she went to Muscle Shoals and recorded that at Fame Studios, mm-hmm. and the band is awesome.
Ugh, kidding
me? And that made a big difference, too. But, you know, we talk about sort of the importance of the song lyrically and from her, you know, with her delivery and her viewpoint, but just musically, that you can't listen to that song and not like sort of dance
exactly
a little bit.
Exactly right. Yeah, just it's amazing. Absolutely.
So
it happens.
Sorry
every
to cut
time.
You off there.
No, it's all good. Another song that I really liked was Think.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You better think about what you're trying to do to me. Think, let your mind go, let yourself be free. Let's go back, let's go way on the way back when. I didn't even know you couldn't have been too much more than 10.
Great song, and I think another one that Jim mentioned at the beginning gave me feel
like... what you're
like,
trying to do to me again.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, you know, calling somebody out, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love it. And then you make me feel like a natural woman just because as a kid, I liked the way that the song moved. I thought I enjoyed that.
It's an understated kind of song. Again, it goes back to her ability to sing also restrained,
right?
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but unleash that powerful power. Yeah, when you need it, just at that one moment. Yeah, that's so true.
You know, the other thing too, I thought this was kind of funny that in the last 10, 15, whatever years it's been, mm-hmm. there's been a little bit of a sort of retro soul movement.
Yeah,
and you hear somebody
sure.
like Sharon Jones mm-hmm. and you think like, oh, that is a direct line to Aretha Franklin, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But another one is Adele.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Owes much to Aretha.
Absolutely.
Much, when you think about
Absolutely.
How she sings and the mm-hmm. kind of song she sings.
Yeah.
And then Aretha Franklin later covered Rolling in the Deep. And you ever hear
no,
that?
I never,
no,
I never knew that.
Yeah, so
that's
I'll
interesting.
Just play a little bit of that because it just makes so much sense.
All right.
So I think
holy smokes.
Yeah.
That was cool.
And I just think that's so cool because you got to figure Adele is singing in some ways you know, out of respect for Aretha Franklin. Yeah. And then later Aretha Franklin covers the song.
Amazing.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Man. Totally amazing. Yeah. And it's just, I don't know if we'll ever, just because of the times and because of when Aretha came up and what decade she spanned, we'll never, you know, to me, she kind of ties together the early gospel tradition of like Mahalia Jackson and, you know, took it all the way up through the 60s and 70s. Yeah. And I don't think they'll, you know, it's hard to imagine anyway that there'll be somebody who'll span that much change and like tie those kind of eras together ever again in music.
Yeah, it was the right singer at the right time, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, I mean, there's impact on civil rights, women's rights.
Yeah.
You know, and just sort of the changing America of the time.
Absolutely.
And in a lot of ways, she was kind of the soundtrack to that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Well,
talk about somebody who deserves to rest in power, for sure.
That's right. This is a big one. All right. Okay. So, as you said, rest in power, Aretha Franklin. We'll talk to you all soon on something happier.
Mm-hmm.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
Patrick Foster.
And I'm Sam Lusker.
If anyone has any thoughts on Aretha Franklin, you guys know how to get in touch with us. Call, email.
Love to hear
all
it.
That kind of stuff. All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
See, we're on a mission from God.
Don't you blaspheme in here. Don't you blaspheme in here. Now, this is my man. This is my restaurant. And you two are going to just walk right out that door without your dry white toast, without your faux fried chickens.